Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
So we continue to salute the neighborhood of Beverly today on WGN. Lots of you are bringing up some great old memories of places that you used to like to hang out in the, or still do, in the Beverly neighborhood. We're talking about Wonder Burger at 111th and Kedzie, that I think technically is really Mount Greenwood, but we'll still put it on our Beverly list because it's such a great place. And some 708 area code texting in saying it's still alive and well, and it's there. 708 area code remembering the Purple Cow Ice Cream Shop. I think that was on Western Avenue. I seem to remember that, where they served you vanilla ice cream, but they put purple food dye in it because the name of the place was Purple Cow. So they it was vanilla ice cream. It tasted like vanilla ice cream, but it was purple. And we'd go in and go, wow, look at that. It's purple. Far out. Back then, we were going, far out, man. How'd they do that? People remembering the Beverly Tennis Club, which is at 91st and Hamilton. And, you know, as we go down Western Avenue, down toward that direction, there's only one place to remember. It is the original Rainbow Ice Cream, 92nd and Western Avenue. My longtime friend Lynn Sapp is the owner, operator, and purveyor of all things delicious there. Lynn, my friend, how are you? Lynn, are you there? Oh, no. Don't tell me we've lost Lynn.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you are.
I'm here.
Did you fall into the ice cream freezer for a second?
Not yet. How are you?
I'm fine.
Happy to be on the phone with you.
It's nice to talk to you. I have not talked to you since before the pandemic. How are things going there for you guys?
Things are going. We're adapting, you know, doing things a little differently. But, you know, Rainbow Cone's been through stuff before and in our 95 years and dealt with the flu and everything. You know, I lost an aunt to the flu. My dad's sister died.
Oh, no kidding.
So, you know, when you talk about pandemics, we take them very seriously and we're very safety conscious and, you know, but we're open. Summer's around the corner, Dean. We're open.
Yeah.
7/92/36.
I know you're doing things a little differently this year that I want to talk about that you actually started last year. But explain how this all started. It was your grandfather, really, that started Original Rainbow Ice Cream, right?
It was. My grandpa Joe and my grandmother Catherine, they started in a tiny little building, which is probably about the size of the kiosk on Navy Pier. And a family friend pointed that out. They were like, Lynn, I think this is the size that Joe and Catherine started. And I'm like, you know what? I think you're right.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was a Buick mechanic, so she worked during the day. And then my dad was three when they opened.
Wow.
So that was 1926, and Western Avenue was a dirt road.
Yeah.
And people came down to go to the cemeteries, and that's how come Sunday is our busiest day.
Oh, so the tradition of going to Rainbow on Sundays goes back that far, because people would go to the cemeteries that have been out in that area for generations.
111th Street, yes. And it's Stuber's Florist. They would go get a geranium, and they would bring a stack lunch, and they would come to Rainbow. And when Rainbow opened, it was called Rainbow Lodge because there was nothing else around it.
Wow.
And there was a couple buildings out there, but that was about it. And so that's how Sunday became our family day. And our basis has been a family business, you know, since. You know, everybody would pile in the car, or they'd take the streetcar, or they would get there on Sundays and weekends, and it was a special treat.
Yeah.
It still is, but it was a very special treat.
How many years have I known you, Lynn, and not known that story about people going to the cemeteries on Sunday and stopping at Rainbow to get a special treat while they were going to remember their loved ones? That's amazing.
Yeah, we had food, too. My grandmother would make a ham or a whole side of beef because, you know, they had sandwiches. And we had bathrooms. There was nothing else out there. I think Evergreen across the street, the golf course, had a place.
Oh, okay.
That was open. And, you know, I know other places in the area were open in 1926 when they opened. But there were not many. But directly across the street was an apple orchard, and then we had the golf course.
That's amazing. And, that's amazing to me when you think about that area and all the changes that it's gone through. You know, when Evergreen Plaza came in, when Evergreen Plaza went out, and, you know, kind of reconfigured itself to the way that it is today. But just, you know, the way 95th Street has you know, changed and grown and redeveloped and gentrified. I mean, it's really quite amazing. And all right in the middle of it all is Original Rainbow Ice Cream, you know, flourishing after all these years. What you know, people must ask you this all the time. People ask me this all the time because I'm always bragging about you guys. What's so great about that? You know, it's just ice cream. What's so great about it? It's how do you answer that?
Well, not only is it a unique five-flavor cone with chocolate, strawberry, palmer, pistachio, and orange sherbet. Can you tell I've said that a few times? It's your memories, Dean, and that's what it's all about. It's family memories, and it's the generations going, and fortunately we got to spread, you know, a lot more people in Chicagoland, and we're working on getting it nationwide, and, you know, because of those memories, people go all over, but they come back, and they take a bite of that cone, and it just brings back
a million memories.
Pleasure, and it brings back memories, and it, you know. I always say, take a bite of a rainbow, it's going to smooth everything over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And all the crazy, crazy times and everything, you know, because we've been through it. We've been through a lot.
So last summer, you know, as I was, you know, doing different things, you know, I'd be driving someplace and then I'd see this huge crowd of people. I was like, what's going on there? And then when you look a little closer, it turned out to be a rainbow ice cream trailer. You were bringing the ice cream to people all over Chicago last summer. Are you going to be doing the same thing this summer?
We are. That's a direct result of the pandemic. So we put Rainbow Cone on wheels, and we have Rainbow Cone food trucks, and we're adding more trucks. So Rainbow's going to roll all over Chicagoland and starting in May. And we also have a truck dedicated to do events. So you can call Rainbow, have them come do whatever you want. Because, you know, we do a lot of weddings.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of weddings for people and, you know, birthday parties or whatever. So you can call and book the Rainbow Truck.
Now,
watch our website at rainbowcone.com because we will be traveling all over the suburbs, the city, everywhere.
Outside of your original location at 92nd and Western, I'm hearing that Lombard is about to become a little sweeter.
Well, that's, you know, I can't say anything official yet, but, you know.
I'm looking at a picture of it, Lynn. What do you mean? one of my Dean Richards Rainbow Cone spies took a picture of it. It looks just like the original on Western Avenue.
Yes, who knew that? You know, my grandmother loves color pink. She just absolutely loved the color pink, and it was. It was Pepto-Bismol pink.
It is.
And, you know, it was like she loved that color. And God bless you. You can see it from 95th and Western. You can see it all over. So the pink buildings are traveling. And Navy Pier opens May 1st.
Okay.
So the pier will be open. That'll be good. All and right. We'll and, see about and, the other stuff
and
coming soon.
And Lombard, when might?
I'm not given an exact. I don't know. I don't want to be like, hey,
right.
You know.
Okay,
I don't know.
You got to promise to call me and tell me when you're allowed to.
I will. I will. But, you know, I can't give an exact. So okay. It's like, don't want to get in trouble.
All right. Hey, you're the boss. Who are you going to get in trouble with?
Well, you know.
You're the boss.
How things go.
All right.
They say they're going to be done, and then they're not, and yada, yada. So,
give me your, you know. Let me get the website and phone number so if people want to get info, they can.
Sure, it's rainbowcone.com, and it's 773-238-7075.
Lynn, I appreciate you joining us. You know, we're talking about Beverly all day today on WGN, and
yeah.
There is no discussion of Beverly without talking about your amazing family business for all these generations. I appreciate.
Well, I'm very proud to be from Beverly. Very proud.
I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you could join us today, Lynn. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Dean, and thank you so much. And I'll be in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Bye bye.
Wow. Apparently, I have the world exclusive on the a rainbow ice cream opening in Lombard scoop. Literally, get it? Scoop. So much great history on the South Side and in the Beverly neighborhood. And one of the most famous establishments there is the great Cork and Carry Tavern at 10614 Southwestern Avenue. Bill Guidy is the owner. And Bill, welcome. Very nice to have you. Hello.
Hi, Dean. Thanks so much for having me.
Have you guys recovered from St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, it was, you know, a little tamer these last few years, but yeah, we're good.
Yeah, it's it's such a landmark spot in the Beverly neighborhood, you know, on the southwest side of Chicago. How did the Cork and Carry come into being?
So this the location that we have is for the past, I think the building is about 90 years old, and right after Prohibition, it's always been a tavern. And then in 1988, the grandparents of the founder, actually, one was from County Cork and one was from County Kerry, and thus the name of our Irish pub.
And this started in what year then?
1988. We've been here since
1988. All those great memories. And you know, talk to me a little about how people relate to your business, how much it's become a part of the community there.
So we've been here for going on 32, 33 years, and we've seen a couple generations in the neighborhood. Lots of proposals, lots of weddings, and then baby showers and birthdays. So we've kind of become. We'd like to be, and we've come a central gathering spot of the neighborhood. Kind of, you know, the Beverly goes east of Western and west of Western, and we're right on the street, as you've said. So we want to be the hub of the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's you know what it always reminded me of Cheers. You know the TV show Cheers, where everybody knows your name. I mean, that's the kind of place that Cork and Carry is. Where it's, you know, it's very family, literally, in some cases, family, but family, friends, generations that have been going there. And, you know, I don't know if you have anybody named Norm when they walk in. Everybody goes, Norm!
But we have our own Norm. We have our own Cliff. we have our own Sam. Yeah, absolutely. That's quite a compliment, Dean.
Yeah, it's quite a place. What have you got planned coming up? I know things are a little more restrictive since the pandemic. I know things are opening up a little bit. What's the status of Cork and Carry now?
So after St. Patrick's Day, it kind of kicks off the spring season, and we try and get ready for beer garden season. And anybody who's been here knows we have a pretty good-sized beer garden, the 300 seats. And so we kind of try and get that ready for May 1st to kind of kick off the summer. And then our other locations across the street from Guaranteed Rate, so we try to, you know, Cork and Carry the brand. We'll get ready for opening day and White Sox baseball down there as well.
Yeah, it's a little easier, isn't it, with the outdoor spaces to kind of, you know, get, quote, back to normal right now.
Right. We can socially distance pretty comfortably outside here in a beer garden. Absolutely.
Well, it's landmark in the Beverly, Mount Greenwood area, and also down by Guaranteed Rate Field. The Cork and Carry. People want to get info. You got a good website we can go to?
CorkandCarry.com. Yes, sir. Make it easy on you.
Doesn't get easier than that. Bill Guidy is the owner of Cork and Carry. I hope you have a great day today, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dean.
I love that I'm doing a fill-in show today on the day that we're saluting the Beverly neighborhood. That's where I grew up. That's where I cut my teeth. That's where I had my pretend radio station. When I was a kid in the basement of our building at 109th and Artesian. Little Dean Richards spinning the hits for you back in the day. Yeah. Tapes that you will never hear ever, that will never see the light of day. But there are some things in the Beverly neighborhood that I've loved for, you know, practically my whole life that I wanted to make sure that we feature today. And one of them was only a couple of blocks away from where I lived, and that is the Beverly Arts Center. Andrew Lindstedt is their director of development and marketing. Andrew, welcome to WGN. Welcome to Beverly Day on WGN.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us here today. So I wanted to check in with you guys because for the past year, you know, pretty much all live entertainment has been shut down. How are things going at the Beverly Arts Center?
Well, I think like, you know, most arts organizations, especially live organizations, we've had to be shuttered. And we, our stage has been dim since the pandemic hit. And so we are ready and just anxiously awaiting that when we can go back on stage and start teaching and enriching the lives of our patrons.
Yeah, give me a little of the history of the Beverly Hill Arts Center. It's basically 111th and Western Avenue, big, beautiful building that's been putting on fantastic talent for years and years now.
Yeah, we predate that building back to Morgan Park Academy in 1967. We incorporated and were at Morgan Park Academy till 2001. And the current facility on Western and 111th was completed. And we've been there for the past 20 years. But yeah, so it's been three, four, five generations now that we have been not only entertaining people at Beverly, Morgan Park, Mount Greenwood area, but teaching too. We have a big school of fine arts that teaches everyone from about 18 months all the way through our senior population. So we've got something for everyone.
That's really nice. Now, have you been doing virtual productions as many of the theaters and schools have been doing over the past year?
We have. We have done three virtual readings. Two of those readings are actually original plays from Beverly playwrights. So we've taken the opportunity during this pandemic to really go local and feature a lot of our local playwrights and a lot of local talent. You know, Beverly is a very artist-rich neighborhood. And so we wanted to make sure that we were coming together as a community, really celebrating the artists that live in our community. And so we produced a couple of virtual readings of plays by local playwrights. And we will, once we're able to be back on stage, we will do full stage productions of those shows. But it was nice to get those readings out there for folks during the pandemic.
Yeah. Now, do you have you know, sort of a tentative plan for when things might be opening up again? I mean, you know, some people have a game plan ready to go and keep their fingers crossed that nothing changes. You know, some are waiting until they're absolutely for sure that things are going to be opening up later on. Where do you guys fall in that?
Yeah, we absolutely are planning for our summer session, our summer activities. Our summer camp will run just as it ran last summer, socially distanced with masking, you know, lots of robust cleaning, all CDC compliant and compliant with state and local regulations. So we'll have our summer arts camps back up and running again this year. We put on, just like we did last summer, we put on a free Music Mondays every Monday night in our courtyard area. Again, socially distanced. We ask people to wear masks and feature local musicians all throughout the summer. So we're planning on doing that again. And then we're getting the stage back up and running. But we're doing it outside. So we've got Comedy of Errors starting in June. We're going to put on Torch Song in August. We're doing Beauty and the Beast for children's production in August. And we're just thinking of new and inventive ways to do theater outside this summer so that we can hopefully avoid, you know, the shifting regulations that the pandemic has had as an effect on us. So
yeah, and even though, you know, you still have to have you know, responsible spacing in an outdoor setting, it's better than having five people in a closed theater. You know, this way you can probably get more people in. And in a way, you know, do the young people know that this is sort of the way theater started in an outdoor setting, in an amphitheater-like setting, and open-air theater? So, I mean, really, you guys are really going old school.
Yeah, it's our own, version of summer stock, right? Yeah. Our own version of Shakespeare in the Park, especially starting with Comedy of Errors. So, this is how Comedy of Errors would have been produced back when it was a new play. So we're going back to what Shakespeare originally envisioned with this show, but even with Torch Song and Beauty and the Beast, we were working on bringing those productions to an outdoor space, and something that people are going to be really enjoy, but also that people will feel safe in attending, as well as when as we're coming out and emerging from this quarantine.
Sure. Well, now, where will this be performed? I mean, is there an outdoor area on your property there? Do you go to the park? How does that work?
We have a wonderful courtyard space. It's maintained by the garden club, our local garden club, Beverly Morgan Park, and they do a fantastic job all summer maintaining the gardens and maintaining a nice big green space right next to our building. So we can accommodate up to 100 people socially distanced. And then it does stretch then beyond into our parking lot. So if we have overflow, we do have folks who will sit out in the parking lot and listen to the music or see the show as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Really nice. If people want to get information about what you've got coming up, what's available, et cetera, what's the best way to access all of that?
Absolutely. Visit us at beverlyartcenter.org or on social media platforms, BAC Chicago.
All right. Very good. Boy, I wish you guys were there when I was, younger. I was in college by the time you guys, came around and, I was working and going to school and, had a lot of things going on and didn't have any room in my schedule for it. But how that would have been so great. Literally, I lived at 109th and Artesian. You realize that's like two blocks away from where you are, from
yeah,
where the Beverly Arts Center
exactly.
is.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have been there all the time if that was up and running then.
Yeah, the community, it's really of, for, and by the community that the Beverly Arts Center exists and is thriving. So, the community of Beverly Morgan Park is so engaged in everything that happens in the area, and the Arts Center is no exception to that.
Now, I'm not complaining because on the site where you are at 111th and Western, back in the day, there was a place called Red's Drive-In. It was a burger place, and I had just gotten my first car. And boy, I just thought I was the biggest shot, the biggest shot of the big shots in that neighborhood. I'd pull up, it was 68 Pontiac Tempest. I'd pull up at Red's, and pretty much every single day, after school, cheeseburger and onion rings, and I'd sit in my car and act like a big shot.
Well, we know people miss Red's, but you can go up to Jansen's and order the same meal.
I was just there not long ago. Same thing. I didn't feel like so much of a big shot. Now I just feel like everyone's grandpa sitting in the parking lot now. hey, kids, quit playing your music so loud.
Yeah, it's a great neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood to that supports the arts, and we're forever grateful.
That's so great. I'm so happy you guys are doing well and surviving all of this, and hopefully it'll be over soon and you'll be back up and running. But it sounds like you've got a great contingency plan going. Give me that website one more time. People want more info.
Yeah, beverlyartcenter.org.
Beverlyartcenter.org. Andrew Lindstad is their Director of Development and Marketing. Appreciate you joining us, Andrew.
Welcome to the South Side. Come join our Irish fest. We're the South Side.
South Side Irish song done by our pals Aaron Moore. They've been on our regular Sunday show many, 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 many times. And really, when we talk South Side Irish, we're talking about this neighborhood, which is a very diverse neighborhood, that's for sure, but is, typified by the Southside Irish. It's always been a very Irish neighborhood, and we featured the Beverly neighborhood today, and that's why I wanted to bring in Linda Lamberty, who is a historian for the Ridge Historical Society. And Linda, very nice to have you with us. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So, you know, we're featuring and saluting the Beverly neighborhood all day long today on WGN. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to dig into the roots of this a little bit. Can you give us, a thumbnail sketch of the Beverly neighborhood?
I'm not usually good with thumbnail, but, my first interest in local history had to do with the earliest history of white settlement here. And I learned when I was getting into that it's the configuration of the land that has really determined everything that happened here. Because this is an island. I don't know if you know that. From about 83rd Street down into the city of Blue Island. It's about 6 miles long and about a mile wide.
I never knew that.
And
I lived there for decades. I never knew that.
It's what's now Lake Michigan used to be a much bigger lake in ancient times. And people today call it Lake Chicago. And at that time, there were a handful of islands that popped their heads out of the water. And this was one of them. Hmm. And over all those many, 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 many years, the land started draining. This was after the glaciers had come through,
okay.
You know, and they melted and created
that,
all this.
That was before I lived there. Yeah, that was slightly before I lived
there.
Yeah,
me too.
But I mean, the Beverly neighborhood as we know it today, when did it start to take shape and take its characteristics, you know, for which we know it now in 2021?
Well, you know, that's, as I say, the shape of it made a difference. And to the early pioneers, this was a unique location. And that was true down through history. It's hard to say because it started out as, around the time of the Civil War, there was a community here. And at that time, it was, Blue Island was the business hub, and the whole island north of it was also part of that community. After the Civil War, there were land and building companies all over that started developing the land, and they took the ridge north of Blue Island and got it all set up as properties for development.
Yeah, the formal name for that neighborhood though is actually Beverly Hills. But it's not named for Beverly Hills, California.
Well, it's complicated, and
I hope this doesn't go back to the glaciers again.
No, I'm sorry. Well, see, you know, this configuration.
My point is, from what I read about it, the city of Beverly Hills, California, came after the Southside neighborhood, formerly known as Beverly Hills. That came afterwards.
Controversy.
Yeah. Okay.
There's controversy over whether that Beverly Hills was named after
ours.
Our Beverly Hills,
which
was named after Beverly Hills in Massachusetts.
So what are the borders then of the Beverly, you know, aka Beverly Hills, Illinois neighborhood?
Okay. The University of Chicago set up the named communities. They devised the named communities, and they're numbered, too. And Beverly is, I believe, 87th to 107th. And what is it?
It's got to be Western Avenue as the western border,
and,
I think, right?
Yeah, and
I'm blanking on
the eastern. No, well, no, I think it's, well, yeah. Well, no. See, it's complicated because Washington Heights used to be up on top of the hill, too.
Yeah.
And then now it's moved down to below the hill. And so, it's somewhere east of Longwood.
And do we know, like, average income? I mean, can we say something about the kind of
people? I don't know that.
What can you tell us about the people who live in Beverly?
Well, you said it's always been Irish, and that's not true.
I said that it was predominantly Irish.
Right, but I thought you said something about it's always been Irish.
No,
but
I did not say that.
Oh, I apologize.
I definitely did not say that.
Because the Irish community started coming in more. I mean, there was always a going way back. There were Irish people around the area, but they were not as strong a community as today. And when St. Barnabas Church came in, I think in the 20s, then that community started developing more and more. And now we have this wonderful Irish heritage here. That's a big part of
the community. If people want to learn more about the history of that neighborhood and, you know, really dig into, I'm curious to dig in now because I never knew that it was an island. I want to learn more about that than we have time for right now.
Yes,
What's the best way to get that information? Is there a website?
The Ridge Historical Society covers the communities of Washington Heights, Beverly Hills, Morgan Park, and Mount Greenwood.
Okay. What is the website?
We have a brand new web address that is ridgehistory.org.
Okay, very good. I appreciate you joining us today, Linda. Thank you. Linda Lamberty is a historian for the Ridge Historical Society.